This podcast is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network, and it's also proud to be from Texas. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Let's talk some Ready Player One, the Ready Player One, the Ready Player One, the Ready Player One.
This is the 2VT, 2VT Podcast. Daddy, Dave, and Steve.
I don't feel happy song. Offspring rip, TJ.
Yeah.
Polly.
That was Polly. We did a cover of Polly.
I don't care. TJ solo, three solos.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Vampire. I remember Vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a recording of any of that?
I do not, man.
I remember that. I remember drawing a flyer for you all.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot all about that. Because
the head... You know, a hand holding the Absalom because he had the Absalom in the Bible was decapitated.
Yeah.
So I had a head dripping blood on the flyer.
had the Absalom written like it was like vampire teeth, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah. Mandatory. You don't. Oh, wow. Don't lose that.
Yeah. Mandatory was mandatory suicide because that was just one of those. We would play that as a instrumental. TJ wouldn't sing it, but we would play that because that was one of those songs that me and Steven and Jason used to practice. Yeah. I remember going
and sitting in that little back room of Jason's house.
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting there while y'all are just playing and getting so serious.
Oh, I know. Music.
he's a good guy, though. Of a bunch of guys. There's some weirdos.
Let's go show that off. I picked that up yesterday.
Oh, I need to move closer.
Yeah, and that microphone almost took a dive, so you might have to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was. This started to fall, and so I went to reach to grab it. I'm speaking of the Stormtrooper's helmet. Hey, everybody. Welcome to 2BT. I'm David.
And Michael. I'm a stormtrooper.
Yeah. Michael was a stormtrooper earlier. Steven's fired. Actually, Steven has turned into a stormtrooper helmet. We've got he'll be like that till midnight.
He turns into a pumpkin.
Exactly.
You went to Fan Days yesterday.
I went to Fan Days yesterday. Or Fan Expo. Sorry. Dallas Fan Expo. It's used to be Dallas Comic Con way back in the day. And this guy by the name of Ben Stevens used to run it. And he sold out to, what's the company? It's some Canadian company and I can't think of their name right now. But anyways, he sold out to them and now they do it in this giant convention hall there in Dallas. And it's like $50 to get in. And I went to it whenever it was in Richardson in the Civic Center and it was $5 to get in. And then it was a bunch of comic books and long boxes that you dug through. And there was a few toy vendors and a lot of artists and maybe one or two actors or whatever. Yeah. And that was it. Now it's this big thing where they had Ben Affleck. They were supposed to have Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox had to back out.
The Stranger Things kids, some of them were there.
Yeah, some of those guys were there. Jason Momoa was there, my buddy. Jason Momoa is not really my buddy, but I've got an awesome drunk story of Jason Momoa that I guess I could go ahead and tell it.
Anyways,
I used to work for this website that I did a little bit of work. It wasn't like I did a whole heck of a lot of work, so I can't really say that I worked for them. I went to conventions and kind of ran their booth and stuff. And it was a buddy of mine that did that owned the website. And so we'd gone down to Galveston to Space City Con, and it was at Moody Gardens there. And
that's a nice place.
It is a really nice place. And so we get down there and it's like the first night of the convention. Like I want to say it's like Thursday or Friday night. And we decided on the way down that we were going to stop and get a bottle of Fireball.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Bad decisions.
Really bad decisions because I don't know. We got a handle of Fireball and we got a 12 pack of Angry Orchard.
Oh, yeah.
Apple cider beer.
Right.
Because you can take half of a can of beer or half of a can of cider, apple cider, doesn't matter what cider. We just got Angry Orchard.
Right.
Well, you can take a half a can of cider and then you can take a shot of Fireball and you mix them together and kind of tastes like an apple pie. And so it's called an apple pie shot. And so we drank those and killed that entire 12 pack of hard cider. And whenever we woke up in the morning, there was about an inch and a half left of fireball left out of that handle. Oh, that's the handle. That's the big bottles.
Yeah.
And so belligerence was had that night. Like there was a point in time where we had a, we had a room that, you know, the hotel room where it'll have the adjoining doors inside. We didn't know who was next door to us, but I just went ahead. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. I knocked on the door and people opened up the door and like it just so happened to be a couple of girls that I knew. Like, I don't know how I know them, but I knew them somehow. And they're like, oh, hey, what's going on? And next thing you know, we're all like partying in the room. But anyways,
you lucked out.
Yeah. Rewind it to earlier in the night. We were at a, we had gone outside. Those guys were smoking cigarettes. I was just out there hanging out with them or whatever. My buddy Brian Earls shows up and he's got this awesome bandolier that's just filled with beer in it.
Oh, God. Yeah,
Brian is a good old boy that comes to party. He's part of the 501st or used to be part of the 501st. He might be retired from the 501st, but anyways, you know, he comes to party and like we were in full on party mode. Well, we're all hanging out. I'm already like gone at this point in time. Like it's just like whatever's going to happen is going to happen. There's a few pictures from that night on my Instagram.
Oh,
and if you follow me on Facebook, not Facebook, on Twitter, then my Instagram name is the same as my Twitter. So you can go find me, follow me if you want to. I don't care. I don't post anything bad, but if you rewind about a couple of years, you'll see a few pictures that, yeah, you'll see because
it's visible.
Yeah. Oh, very visible. I almost got us kicked out of the hotel. Anyways, this limo pulls up and I was like, I don't know who this is, but they're in a limo. So they got to be awesome. I'm just going to go give them high five. And so limo pulls up, a couple of smoking hot girls get out, and then this big dude that's like my height gets out and he's all jacked and buff and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, dude. And he just goes with it and he gives me this super awesome high five and he just walks on in. And everybody's like, dude, do you know who you just high fived? And I was like, I got no clue.
Khal Drogo.
Yeah. They're all like, it's Jason Momoa. And I said, Jason Mimosa. And they go, no, it's Jason Momoa. I was like, Jason Mimosa? And they're like, no, Jason Momoa. And I was like, yeah, I know. I'm messing with you guys. And they're like, oh, okay. I was like, well, who's Jason Momoa? I'd watch Game of Thrones at this point in time, but I didn't know that that was Jason Momoa.
Right. Did he have the beard or no?
He had the beard and he had the long hair. Like, I think that's just part of his, like, look or whatever. Like, his trademark, I guess. But it just hadn't clicked on me. A, could have just been because I was in a super drunken stupor already at this point in time. But anyways, they go inside. We stay outside, party for a little bit longer, and we go back inside and go to the hotel bar. And so there's more shots done than just the apple pie shots that are upstairs. We go to the bar and I walk up to Jason Momoa and I start talking to him because that's what I do. I turn into as much as I'm a recluse here at Echo Base.
Right.
I turn into a social butterfly whenever I get a few drinks in me and I'm starting feeling good or whatever. So I go up to Jason Momoa and I start talking to him and hanging out. And like, I can't tell you what our conversation was about, but I do remember he bought a round of shots for everybody.
Really?
Yeah, and bought a round of shots for everybody at the hotel bar. And it's not like the hotel bar was super packed or anything like that. But there's, you know, quite a few of the convention people, the 501st people and all like this type of stuff there. And so he bought a few rounds of shots for people. And he's just all around just like super cool dude.
Right.
Super awesome guy. And like he was drinking a lot of beer the entire weekend.
Oh.
And I do know somebody asked him something about like, dude, why are you drinking so much beer? And he goes, because my trainer's not around or whatever.
Like, he's like, he's allowed to get away with it.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, anyways.
But he's cool.
Oh, super cool. Super nice guy. And he was there at the convention yesterday. But, yeah, I almost got us kicked out of the hotel because it was still at Christmas time and they still had all the – in fact, it was over – it was the day I left on January the 2nd to go down to Galveston.
Yeah.
So it was the day after New Year's Day. I left January 2nd to go down to Galveston for this convention to run the Almost Nerdy table. So, anyways, we get down there. Like I said, they've still got all their – Christmas decorations up and they've got this big Christmas tree with all the fake presents and underneath it and Santa Claus with the sleigh and all like this good stuff. And yeah, I wound up going around and getting the presents and handing them out to people and telling them to rip them open.
Oh,
the hotel staff is coming by taking the presents. Then I tried to take Santa Claus out of his sleigh.
Hotel?
Oh, it was Moody Gardens.
Oh, in the Moody Gardens.
Yeah, in the Moody Gardens Hotel. So yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was a belligerent night. I'll try to find the picture so I can show it to you.
I can see that could go really bad really quick.
Oh, it did. It was a lot of fun, but it was also, yeah.
Sometimes.
I wouldn't.
Best decisions are not made under the influence of different things.
No, they're not. Especially with me. Like, I get to there, and like I said, whenever I get to that point, it's just like, hold on to your butts. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I went to Dallas Fan Expo yesterday. It was all weekend long. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So in other words, they're still going on as we speak. But yeah, all in all, it was a great convention, man. It was good times. Oh, here you go. Here's the picture of me and Santa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really mischievous look on your face there, dude.
Yeah. This leaned over the sleigh. And that was right before I started. Because at that point in time, I'm trying to kiss him. And right after that's whenever I tried to take him out of the
take him to your room.
No, I was going to commandeer a sleigh, and here's Brian Earls and his beer bandolier.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy's good times, man. And it's shortly after that's whenever Jason Momoa rolled up.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyways.
There's still daylight there.
Oh, and here's the fireball handle.
Oh, no.
And as you can see how far down we are into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had some German.
Oh, the Franziskaner. Oh, I love my German beers, man. Yeah, the Franziskaner. Anyways, so back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfection. So let them understand. Anyways, that was what lyric is that from? That's a rap lyric, man.
I have no idea.
Back to the lecture at hand. Perfection is perfection. Let them understand. Ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Too low. So we're crazy. Death Row is a label that pains me. Unfeasible. So please don't try to
phase it. That's a Snoop Dogg.
That's Snoop Dogg, yes.
From America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
With 3 K's.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Anyways, back to the story. So bring it back in. I'm the one that's getting sidetracked this episode, man. What the heck?
I don't know.
We're just like role reversal or something. Hey. I'm just dominating the whole conversation right now.
I really don't think that I'm always to blame because I've been thinking, I said, I didn't start that. I didn't start that. I didn't start that.
Right. You're just the scapegoat.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call you Sparky anymore. I'm just going to call you Scapegoat Mikey.
I'm the derailer. I'll take it.
Anyway, so I went to Dallas Fan Expo yesterday. It was really, really nice. Convention. I enjoyed it. I heard that there were some complaints of, you know, things. And,
That's everybody.
That's everybody.
Everybody complains about everything.
I don't have any complaints, man, except for it was kind of hard to figure out where to enter the building at and where to leave the building at because there wasn't any real signs except for do not enter or do not exit. And so you kind of had to search around. There's no signs pointing you like this way to entrance and this way, you know, to exit.
And it was cold, so you really wanted to get inside the building.
Oh, God, yeah, man. Took the train, and it was just brutal cold. And like a moron, I wore shorts because I don't like wearing jeans.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we go to Dallas Fan Expo. And this picture right here that you're looking at, I'll go ahead and talk about this. That's actually a really interesting story, and I think that you would really dig it. I'm going to go search it and look it up. But it's got all the information here on the back of it. It's a new comic. And it's an independent comic. It's called White Lily. White Lily. You can check it out on PocketJacksComics.com. White Lily is a story of two highest scoring ranking female combat pilots in world history. Lila I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name because it's Russian. And Katya Bundanova. Together they scored over 10 kills fighting in the skies over Stalingrad and Kursk during World War II. Our 5-issue miniseries explores their relationships and the battles they fought both in the air and on the ground. of course, I actually met the artist and that's how I got the poster and he signed it, or one of the artists, or he might have been one of the writers. I can't remember. I met a lot of people yesterday, but the story was really intriguing. It's actually a true story. So yeah, go to PocketJacksComics.com.
You can get a free digital comic.
Yeah. They
Preston actually, Poulter, that's the writer.
Yeah. So it's, the art looks really, really interesting. I like it. It's very.
Yeah. This image, this poster that you've got here, it's a lady with a Star of David hanging from a chain around her neck. She's knocked to the ground. Her with a little girl who's got blood on her face, a bloody nose, And in the background, well, she's surrounded by some Russian soldiers with rifles pointed at them. And then there's a, like an angry crowd surrounding them. And then in the background, you see a scaffold with a guy hanging from it.
Okay. So, the that's the mother, the lady with the Star of David.
That's the mother of one of the pilots.
That's the no, that's the mother of the little girl. The little girl there with the bloody nose is one of the pilots. Okay. And the image hanging from the gallows is her father. She, yes, but yeah, that's basically, I guess, how the story starts or whatever.
It's good
like,
art.
Yeah, it's very good art. It's, like I said, it's all even based on a true story. So that's what really, to me, makes it even more intriguing. Not only that, it's also a true story out of history. And not only is it history, but it's from World War II. So it strikes a lot of things that like really, really, I know is up your alley.
Yeah.
And is up my alley as well. And I know Steven would even like that too.
Yeah, it looks like you can get it on Comixology also.
Oh, okay.
So
awesome.
So yeah.
And then, I actually picked up some other art that was free. I actually bought some other art that was from a really cool artist. You can go by and check his page out. His name is Danny Elaine. His page is actually DannyElaineArt.com, and that's Danny DannyDannY. And I'll spell out Elaine because it's Allain. So that's Danny AllainArt.com. And go by and check his stuff out because he has a lot of really cool stuff. He's the one that I showed you of.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
He's got this line right now that is Bones, and I bought a Wicket, a Tauntaun, and a Rick and Morty, because Who doesn't love Rick and Morty?
Right.
But he's got this Bones line right now, so he has the image, and it's like a watercolor image of the characters, and then he has the Bones
sketched
inside, inked inside of the bodies or whatever. So, like, the thing about the Tauntaun, and really one of the reasons why drew me to the Tauntaun was because it actually had Luke. A human skeleton of Luke inside of the Tauntaun. So that was great. And then one last booth that I found that was really cool, all handmade stuff, and it's an Odd Duck Company is the name of the actual company, and it's www.oddduck.com. What is it? Oddduck.com?
It is oddduckcollectibles.com.
Okay. So www.oddduckcollectibles.com. And these are all three things that I really, really found that I really enjoyed. And the Odd Duck Collectibles was little bitty miniature, like clay statues.
Yeah.
And they told me it was a polymer clay that comes in all sorts of different colors. And so the statues aren't actually painted. Each and every different piece, every different color on the statue is a different piece of clay. And she had just tons of really interesting, really kind of funny.
Shared one with Ronnie and I.
Yeah. I shared one from I think it was from my own Twitter page, to Ronnie and you. And it was a couple of Jawas, like four or five Jawas climbing all over the TARDIS, which I thought was right up Ronnie's It had the TARDIS, and then right up your alley also because it had the TARDIS, but it also had Jawas. Right. So it was a great tie in between the two. But some of the stuff that they had was like some Calvin and Hobbes. Like I saw a Calvin and Hobbes. It was a Vincent Jules from Pulp Fiction. And then, some Muppets. I told you about the Kermit and Fozzie, but Kermit was Han Solo and Fozzie was Chewbacca because I mean, like, that's like peanut butter and jelly, that's so fitting for both of those. And then a bunch of others, just a bunch of Minions. One of my favorite ones that I almost bought, and I'm kicking myself for kind of not doing it because it was a little Minion, Berserker. He even had the little wolf pelt hat on. And so, wolf pelt, not necessarily hat, but skull and then draped down over his back, and he's got like an axe or whatever, but it was a Minion, and I love Minions. That's my weakness. I love Minions. Yeah. Minions are so blasted adorable. It's ridiculous.
You need a Minion tattoo.
Have one of those. Yeah, I don't know if I'll do a Minion tattoo. I'm kind of, not that I don't like Minions, but my tattoos are stuff that I've loved all my life. So pinups and Star Wars, basically. But, and one last artist that I didn't get to buy any of his work, but I did get one of his cards. I'm going to go by and check it out. And it's, his name is, Logan Pack, P-A-C-K. You can check out his Etsy store, but, it's just really neat. I really enjoyed his, he had a,
oh yeah.
Then you can see the picture of the Luke that I found that I really wanted to get. Luke.
There's a Ninja Turtle on the bottom. Then on the bottom right, it's, Iron Man.
He had some art that was done really cool. Like he had the, comic book characters, and he had like, panels from comics.
It's watercolors.
I don't know if it's watercolors like or not,
but maybe not.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think it's watercolors.
Okay.
But he, his, some of his main stuff that I really, really loved that was comic art. And he had panels from comics and they were kind of like, you know, in a shape. I wouldn't say like making like a star or anything like that, but right. They were like printed horizontally or like kind of diagonally across the page or whatever. And then you'd have the really dark image of like, say Wolverine, he'd have like X-Men, and then you'd have a really dark, just like an ink image of Wolverine over top of it. So it was really, 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 his stuff just kind of, it's one of those that you walk by, like you'll see tons of artists at, right. at conventions, but there'll be like those few booths that really like draw your eye. And he was one of them. I really enjoyed his stuff. Like I said, it was one of those that I came up to that I was really kind of disappointed that I hadn't saved a little bit of cash to at least pick something up from him.
So I wonder if he just does that, or I'm looking to see if he has any actually comic work. I can't find any.
I don't know. He had a pretty big booth, so I know it cost him quite a bit. He's a
heck of an artist. I mean, the upper left picture, I looked at it, that's 11 from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. He had a great, kind of like a 30s/40s, like a, I won't say love scene, but like, you know, just one of those images that was, Harley and Mr. J.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the second one there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There it is right there. Yeah. And it just kind of like really kind of, to me, it has that kind of 30s/40s/ feel, like the dipping the girl back about to kiss her type thing or whatever.
He's got a Flash, a Wonder Woman, and a good one of Ray. And I can't remember this guy from Walking Dead. I know that's who that is.
Let me see.
Daryl.
Oh, Daryl. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, like I said, that was the one that I was kind of disappointed that I didn't get. But that's basically, my Dallas Fan Expo in a nutshell. Like, there was a lot of Back to the Future stuff there.
Oh, I bet, because Michael J. Fox was supposed to be there in the last minute cancellation.
Yeah, but Christopher Lloyd was there. I can't think of the girl's name that played his girlfriend in the...
Oh.
Not the Elizabeth Shue, because I think she was his girlfriend or / wife in the second one or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Leah something other is her name, and I can't think of her blasted name right now. They were there. They had a lot of cast from Back to the Future. There's a lot of Back to the Future.
They
were there.
They had a lot. Yeah, I can't remember right now, top of my head. I didn't. There's a lot of, I mean, usually they have some good names, but this time it looked like they had a ton of, top A-list.
Yeah, Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck was there, and that's what got me. It was Ben Affleck was there. Yeah. I've never even really heard
of him doing it.
Him doing a convention. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm sure. Obviously,
in Dallas.
Yeah, obviously he does things like San Diego or whatever, like your big name.
Chicago, I could see him doing that.
Yeah, C2E2, the New York Comic Con or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was just a late ad since Michael J. Fox.
Probably returning a favor.
I'm guessing so. I'm guessing so, because like I said, Michael J. Fox kind of dropped out there, within like a week or so.
Yeah. That was probably the biggest. Of everything, that's the one that stood out to me the most, is he was going to be there with Doc Brown.
And, oh, yeah.
That would have been really cool.
Oh, dude, that would have been so awesome. Yeah. I actually had a buddy of mine.
Did they have the TARDIS stand?
I didn't see a TARDIS anywhere.
Because the one time I went, and it wasn't in that convention center, I never have been there.
Yeah.
They had a life-size TARDIS you can go.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of stuff. Like, there was some Halo costuming group, and somebody's probably going to hate me for not knowing the name of the Halo costuming group, but they had one of their, like, little, like, drop pod type thing. I don't know a lot about Halo, so yeah. I can't really tell you, but it had, like, one of their drop pod things with, like, the doors on hydraulics that they were actually letting people stand in, and it would close up. And
really?
Yeah, it was kind of
neat.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to do that or not, because what happens to that? Yeah, what if that malfunctions, man?
Did I ever tell you my dream that I've been trying to get my wife to let me do for years to our house? At one point, I think I almost had her convinced that it would be a good idea. And that's when we were when we first started watching Doctor Who and constantly binging and watching all of the Doctor Who's.
Yeah.
We started with Matt Smith, went back. We kind of went out of order, started with Matt Smith, then went back to, Eccleston and then Tennant.
Okay.
And then went back through Matt Smith and then to, of course, Capaldi.
Yeah.
And I really thought I had her convinced. I was going to build a TARDIS.
Yeah.
As the outside our front door.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I was
going
to build a life-size TARDIS to where that would become the door to the house. So you'd walk in and it's bigger on the inside. Cause our house is all open plan.
Yeah.
Really like vaulted ceiling. So when you went in and it's bigger on the inside, it really is bigger.
It really is bigger on the inside.
And she told me no.
What?
No, she's like, no. I'm like, well, we got
We're going to have a sit down with Patricia.
Well, I almost have her convinced to let me do it to another, because we have a door on each side of the house.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah. I've got the one that most people come in, that's our utility room, actually. That's yeah. what we use for our front. Our front door is out to our front yard.
Okay.
Then I have a door that goes out of our bedroom.
Oh, okay.
To, because people say, why do you have a door in your bedroom? Because the house I lived in and used to live in
yeah.
had a door from the master bedroom to the backyard, which was really nice. There was a deck and you could just go sit. So that's why we put that there, because I'm going to build a deck out there. And
I thought it sounded kind of cool, actually. Yeah.
And then we have a door out of the other side of the house, too. So I think I'm going to get to do one out, like the what we consider the back door.
Yeah.
And that's the one I'll just start driving through the yard and parking there, and that'll be the door I go in the house in.
I don't blame you, man. I would, too. That's actually a really cool idea. Yeah.
There's designs, so you can build them. I don't know, because they... TARDIS changed over the years.
Yeah.
But still,
the exterior of it's always been the same blue call blue box.
They've changed. Yeah. The colors changed. I think the sizes changed over the years.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think I'd probably just go with like the more modern version.
I'm guessing it's probably changed with the times and the design of the boxes. Whenever they changed the design of the, basically it's a telephone booth. You know, I guess it's like whenever they changed the design of the telephone booth for the emergency calls, and there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that's my, I brought up the TARDIS, and maybe you can help me.
Yeah.
Or I should just do it and then ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Send her away for a weekend or whatever. send her to her sister's house for a weekend.
Yeah.
And then we'll call me up and we'll be real sneaky about it, and we'll just do it to your front door, and she'll have no. Yeah. And if she doesn't, she'll just have to learn to live with it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that isn't going to be how it works.
Right. Yeah.
Anyhow.
Trisha shows up with a sledgehammer.
Band days. Maybe next year I'll go.
Yeah, man. Next year we need to.
And soon, very soon, we're going to Scarborough.
Oh, yeah.
Scarborough Fair.
Scarborough is coming up. Yeah. I'm actually going in a couple of weeks.
Are you going to opening weekend?
No.
Opening weekend is Time Traveler.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was this weekend.
Oh, yeah. This weekend. Okay.
That was this weekend.
The Time Travelers. Yeah. That would have been fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of funny because I actually had a friend go to that. And then, like, it's one of those kind of odd things for people that don't live outside of Texas, for people that don't live in Texas. Like, you know, once we hit April, it doesn't get cold anymore. You know, you might have cold spells during March or whatever. And whenever I say cold, I'm around 40, maybe 50 degrees. And that's going to be your low, you know. And then yesterday, it was like 35 degrees whenever I was waiting on the train, and the wind was blowing probably about 15 to 20 miles an hour.
The day before, I think we hit almost 85, and then the next morning when it was 29.
Yeah, we had what they like to call a blue norther. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they call it that outside of other states or whatever. They probably do. But yeah, it's called a blue norther, and all of a sudden it's just like cold, you know, and like there's lots of people that were going out to Scarborough. And like I said, I had a friend that went out to Scarborough yesterday.
Oh, man, that would have been miserable.
And I was like, dude, there's no way. And granted, there's places that you can go to out there that you're going to get wind blocked from. But dude, could you imagine being out there in that cold?
No.
Yeah.
I've been, sometimes we've had bad luck where it rains.
Yeah.
Honest. But usually even that, it's not that bad.
Oh, no. And I actually kind of prefer it, to tell you the truth.
A little bit cooler.
Yeah. I've been out there, I'd say, oh, I've been going steady now once a year for probably like the past like 8 years.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's about a 50-50 chance of me getting rained on going out there. But yeah. it doesn't rain like all day.
Right.
You know, it's always like might have morning showers or evening showers or something like that. Right. But nothing like, you know, just that springtime crap or whatever. So
yeah,
not one of those torrential downpours of all day long flooding stuff that you might have occasionally, but yeah. But like I said, to me, I actually kind of enjoy it because it gets started getting kind of warm and you'll have a nice little shower, kind of cool you down a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And just keep on walking, keep on drinking. That's basically what happens.
Keep yourself hydrated.
Yeah. Exactly. Drinking water.
Water.
Yeah. Cause that's exactly what it is. None of the fine beverages that they serve.
I might even get a turkey leg this year. I don't know. Yeah. I never have.
That's the thing, man. Turkey legs are good.
They look good, but then they're not.
But you get past the exterior of it, and all the seasoning's gone, and it's just turkey.
Big, nasty hunk of meat.
Yeah. But it does make you feel cool whenever you're eating it, because you're like getting to hold it by the freaking bone. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm boring. I always get the same thing to eat every year.
What do you get?
I go to this little we have routines where we follow kind of a, we go the same entrance, walk the same direction, spend a lot of the time in this area. I could almost predict every single thing that's going to happen during the day. Oh, we're about to have to go sit down in the food court because somebody's going to be hungry and no one else is. And, every year the kids go to the archery thing and the wife. And, right next to that, there's this place that sells Reuben sandwiches.
Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And, you know, it's hit or miss. Sometimes it's really, really good. And then sometimes if you hit them at the wrong time, it's something, you know, when you buy it, it's just been sitting there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I always go to, I go to the opposite direction. We go to this one. I think it's like the Mallard or something that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like off over in the corner. And it's, we always go there, make a beeline straight to there, get sausage on a stick.
Yeah.
And a beer. And that's where it all starts.
That's where it starts. And that's the end that has that weird guy that plays the
bells.
Keyboards. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, that's the end down the very far end. They, you can get fish and chips.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that's booth is right there at where you get the fish and chips.
That's where, that's the end we always end our day on for some reason.
Yeah. Well, that's, and it's not too far from the opening. Actually, what we do is we come straight in and you have the, all those, that main square almost like that has all the restaurants and stuff. Get the sausage on a stick there, eat that as we're walking down to get the beer, and then we get a beer, and that's where everything starts at, and keep a checklist and try to hit every one of them.
Right. Then they have the steak on a stick.
I've had the steak on a stick. Yeah, that one's pretty, pretty darn tasty as well. But something about that, something about the sausage. I love my sausage.
You gotta love sausages. Yeah, yeah. And Target, get your act together because Dave didn't get his hot links today. Dude, and he's not happy with you.
I am frustrated with Target. Like, I've mentioned this before, and I get it. Like, I get that you might not carry chorizo, but whenever it's hot links is like one of those things that's everywhere. It's not just like, I can get it. Like, chorizo is kind of, I wouldn't say it's like a niche food or whatever, but, you know, places north might not carry chorizo in a store or something like that. You might have to go to a specialty store to get chorizo. That's understandable. But hot links, dude, what the devil? That's what I was going to do for dinner tonight. Now my dinner idea is completely, totally blown out of the water.
I'm not going to lie. I was in the store with you there. I was a little worried. I didn't know how this was going to play out.
Oh, yeah. I was going to lose my cool. I want my sausages, damn it.
Well, they have this andouille sausage.
Yeah.
It's not a hot link.
Dude, and that's the thing. Like, you got all sorts of different Italian sausages. You got all sorts of different bratwurst. And I love bratwurst. There's nothing wrong with bratwurst. I dig myself some bratwurst. And you have some artisan sausages. And then you got like all these hot dogs.
And they had 80 kinds of hummus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, dogs went in. But no hot links. They had uncured turkey hot dogs, uncured pork hot dogs, and uncured beef hot dogs.
That was full and no one had bought.
Yeah, that was
full. I've never bought those.
Yeah. I'm like, uncured. I don't know about that because that to me, it says that was going to go bad really soon.
Yeah, you're going to have to eat it.
Yeah, and the good thing about a package of hot dogs is you can hold on to those for like 8 years before they go bad.
Hot link, though?
Nah, well.
One time I had did from some, it was, of course, bad decision, gas station.
Oh.
And only reason I got it is because there used to be this gas station up by where I used to work up in Gainesville. I'd stop there and they'd have the hot links and I'd get that because it's super cheap. Delicious. And then I got one day and that's like, oh no, something is not right. It's like immediately like threw it away.
Oh,
it was
so really? Bad. Was it just like the link itself wasn't good?
Yeah.
Or is it like good as in like just that didn't taste good? Or
no,
was it, like,
it was something with gone the south. Way it was made.
Oh, really?
It was not made like.
You didn't like bite into it and find a finger or anything like that, did you?
No, I don't think so.
You bite
in retrospect,
it
maybe.
Yeah, bite into it and there's a
ring. Maybe that's
ring.
No, I'm not going to say that.
This reason why it tasted funny is you were eating human.
Oh, gosh. Went to the dark side, Dave. Yeah. You went straight to the dark.
What are you trying to say there, man?
I don't know.
So, anyways, let's talk some Ready Player One
because
you and I just went and saw that.
Second time.
We recorded last time we recorded two shows. So we had a nice little week off for Easter, observing the holiday, I guess, something like that. But anyways, we've seen Ready Player One twice now, and it was just First time, what was your first reaction to it?
We kind of had the same reaction. You used the word. You looked at me and said, I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's how I felt. I went into it loving the book and just anticipating, well, this is going to be so cool when they do this that's in the book. And there's, this is going to be so cool when they do this that's in the book. The big reveal at the end is going to be so cool when everybody, and they didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
None of it. I mean, but what they did do was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And my wife didn't read the book. She had no expectations and she kind of only went because, hey, I'm like, honey, do you want to go see a movie?
Yeah.
We're really excited about this. And yeah, I'll go see the movie. And then she loved it.
Yeah.
I looked over and she was just laughing and smiling the whole movie. So that she loved it. And yeah, freaking great. And the second time around, I had less of this pressure that I was putting on it.
Yeah.
I was just going back to watch the movie.
And try to pick up on things.
Oh yeah. The way it just flows. It was,
I love it, man. Like, and like I said, like it's one of the oddest first reactions I've ever had to a movie because, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it was. Is like, I was disappointed because there was things I really wanted to see out of the book come to life on the movie screen. But then whenever I watched it, I loved it. And it's so kind of crazy because I was thinking about it and watching the story that Spielberg gave us with it. Mm-hmm. You could totally redo that, make a whole nother movie and almost have a completely different story and a completely different feel. I mean, still have a lot of similarities. You'd still have the Oasis and the video games and all the 80s pop culture stuff.
Yeah.
Because even like the society didn't seem like as run down to me as kind of like what I'd pictured it in the book or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Should have been a little bit more.
Yeah. Like roving gangs.
Yeah. Like one of the reasons Wade went to the school in the Oasis
was to get away from them
because he would get beat up every day walking to school.
Yeah.
And it did look a little less rough.
Yeah. I did like his hideout. His hideout was exactly as
perfect.
Was exactly how I'd pictured it whenever I read the book or whatever.
The basement, H's basement is spot on. I just wish they'd have spent a little bit more time there.
Yeah. Did you notice the poster? Well, I pointed out the one poster to you, what was that? It was Beastmaster poster.
Yeah, Beastmaster.
But did you notice the other poster that they kind of zoomed up on him? And it was the poster of, I can't think of the guy's name that was running for mayor of, Hill Valley in Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that was so-and-so for mayor was up there or whatever. And there was some, there's obviously a few Back to the Future references. You know, he drives around in the DeLorean the entire movie or whatever. And there's a part where, you know, there's the Zemeckis cube that he buys, and he uses the Zemeckis cube at the dance club. Yeah, yeah. Which is a Rubik's cube, and you hear three notes of the theme from Back to the Future.
It's just
real quick. But that was, I mean, I kind of went into it this time really just kind of like trying to pay attention to like the music that was played in it. And I took off. I was going to take notes. I had a thing of paper. I had a pen and it's sitting in there in the kitchen in the commissary of Echo Base on the table.
Soundtrack's great. And I've looked. I don't know if they've actually released a soundtrack of it because I tried to find it. I was going to get it to listen to. You double check there. Let me ask you one thing though.
All right.
My feeling is, they made a movie not for the, if you love the book, the movie wasn't made for you or with you in mind, even hardly at all.
I think.
They took the idea from the book, the ideas, and just kind of made a great action adventure movie and changed everything because there's a good premise. It would have been really hard to do some of the things and might have been kind of boring because the first third of the book is just set up in world building.
Oh yeah.
You know, the decision to move him from Oklahoma just to Columbus. I would have liked to have seen it being in Oklahoma. And one more thing, I think they didn't make him destitute enough.
I don't think so either. Cause his, like that was one of the thing about it was that there was obviously a lot of people living in the trailer with him.
There's like 12 people living in that trailer.
And it was just him and his aunt and his aunt's boyfriend.
Boyfriend, yeah.
And his aunt, they didn't get the character from the book.
No.
For his aunt, because his aunt,
she didn't care about him.
Yeah, she didn't care about him. And the movie, she kind of cared about him. To me, I think they kind of combined her with the older woman that I think lived a few levels down from them or whatever.
And was the older woman
Yeah, she was there then.
At the end.
Yeah, that kind of...
That threw me off, because I didn't catch it the last time we watched it.
Yeah.
That was a little bit of a... Because she's the one that says, we know what you did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So maybe she's out.
Unless he, like, maybe there's... And that's one thing I was thinking about, one of her... Because there was a cut in there that felt kind of odd, and I was like, I kind of want to see if they do a director's cut of this.
Oh, okay.
Because there was one part where something happens. I can't even remember what area it was that the cut seemed kind of strange. And I was like, that's kind of a weird cut, kind of a weird edit. And I guess it might have just been just done for time.
Right.
And so, like, hopefully we'll maybe possibly get a director's cut or deleted scenes or whatever. Because, you know, there might be more where he's coming down from, you know, their elevation in the stacks that maybe you see him shift over or something like that. Because, spoiler alert and all. In all honesty, she should have died in an explosion.
Supposed to have died, yeah. Everybody died. And not just that single stack of trailers. I think all the trailers around were destroyed or damaged.
I did find a Ready Player One original motion picture soundtrack by Alan Silvestri.
Okay.
But it's just the score. The score. Okay. It's not the actual music from it. Now, there is Jump from Ready Player One, Take On Me from Ready Player One. Here's a lot of songs on
some
here.
Some Bruce Springsteen, some Joan Jett.
Oh yeah, Joan Jett was one I definitely heard.
I think it was a really good song.
Take On Me, was that Alan Parsons Project maybe, I think?
I don't know.
There was that. There was I was kind of disappointed. I thought they Rush would have more of a presence in there, but I did see a Rush poster.
I expected Rush to be like,
yeah,
big, but that's probably just a license.
Yeah, exactly. But there was a Rush poster in there.
I noticed a lot more. I started, because I had watched it once before, I was actually trying to look in the background a lot more on this time around.
We're Not Gonna Take It.
Yeah.
Twisted Sister. Perfect placement for that song. And whenever it starts up with
that's another one of the things I was really excited though, because in the book, he throws in a cassette tape of Dirty Deeds by
AC/DC
at the beginning of the big battle.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of those, I mean, the giant mechs gone, except for one.
Yeah.
And that guy's supposed to even be dead. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, lots of changes. It's just not the book.
Yeah.
But it's a good movie and I'll watch it again.
Yeah. But they did get the Mecha Godzilla was.
No, Mecha Godzilla wasn't it.
Yeah. Mecha Godzilla wasn't it. And, you know, a lot of that stuff, like, from what I understand is like, I think what I haven't read this for sure. So I don't know. Don't crucify me if this is wrong.
Internet, the nails.
But, right. But apparently, the people in charge of getting the licenses for this movie worked over 3 years getting the licensing just to do what they did.
Oh, sure.
And it's
loaded though. I mean, at least 3 or 4 different Batman related characters, the Batmobile from Batman 66.
Oh, yeah. And I did notice that it's Amblin Entertainment, Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the reason why they were able to throw a lot of Batman in there, because it's Warner Brothers property.
Just on her virtual, she had a Batman symbol on top of it.
Oh, see, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah, on her visor. Yeah. I noticed on Wade, he had a little D20 on his thing. And that's one thing I was going to look up was the spell that activates the Orb of Azivox. Is something. I've heard that before.
Oh, really?
And I cannot think of what it is. So I'm going to go to the internet to look it up. See real
one
quick.
One highlight of the movie is a character they completely just made for the movie. TJ Miller.
Oh, no. IROC is in there.
Oh, is
IROC's in the book.
Really?
IROC's the poser that goes and hangs out at the.
Okay.
But they did. I mean, they used the name, but the character's completely.
I didn't catch the name because IROC was not a good gunner.
Yeah, no,
this guy is TJ Miller is a, he knows what he's doing. I mean, I love it at the end when he finally when the bomb goes off and destroys him. He had so much gold and treasure inside of him.
Oh yeah. How would you spell Ossuvox? I don't know.
Ossuvox. Ossuvox.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ossuvox. TJ Miller was great.
Yeah, man, I'm a big fan of his. I ran across him in other movies before I saw, whatchamacallit. Silicon Valley. I've seen him in a few other things before Silicon Valley, but like, I guess Silicon Valley is where I really got,
he was exposed to him. The show.
Oh man, tell me about it.
Then he gets left in a drug den in the Far East.
Oh, so, yeah, that's yeah. right. Cause he, yeah.
He wouldn't stop talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cause the director of Hooli, the guy was yeah. the director of Hooli left him there or whatever. He takes him, man, let me, all right. This is going to take forever. I don't know if I'm going to.
Since I talk, you talk about being crucified. I'm going to do a little side story while you look that up. So last weekend was Easter. Okay. And so we went to church with my parents. My parents are sitting there in front of us with my sister and her family. And we get there. Of course, we're late everywhere we go. Luckily, there was a place to sit right behind them. And, we're sitting there and we got my wife next to my youngest daughter, Delilah, and, oldest daughter, Tristan. And we're just sitting there, and Lila is really smart young girl, but she's got some learning difficulties, a little delayed on some yeah. things. And it's really hard for her to sit still and be quiet for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
That's so we're sitting there.
Difficult for anybody, especially children.
And, yeah. you know, she gets excited when the children's choir goes up there, and she's like, gets excited when she hears the kids. She goes, oh, kids are going to sing. And she's happy.
Yeah.
And then during the sermon, she's pretty good. She did a really good job. I was proud of her. But then there's a part of the sermon where the preacher's talking about the crucifixion. He said they took Jesus and they put him on the cross and put nails in his hands and legs and killed him. And
sorry, I'm not laughing at that. No. I know it's coming. You already
and
told
then
me
through
this.
The and then everybody in the whole entire building. And then Lila goes, "What the heck?" And of course, Mama goes. My wife goes, "Shh." And Lila goes, "I didn't say what the hell." And everybody. Oh, I was trying not to cry.
That's what I was laughing about because I knew what was coming up, man.
It is so funny.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's not the most appropriate spot to start laughing when this preacher's talking about the crucifixion.
What did your mom and dad do?
Oh, my mom, they didn't move.
Yeah.
And afterwards, we went to eat lunch with them at their house, and my mom, the first thing, my mom looks at us and says, "You must have been, she's been hanging around the wrong people or something like that."
Oh my goodness. That's freaking awesome. Oh my.
No harm, no foul.
You told me the story last weekend. So I knew what was coming up. That's why I was laughing about the crucifixion thing because I knew what was coming up. I don't want anybody to hate me because of that because crucifixion's not funny. But anyway.
You keep saying I keep laughing though.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
No, that was just one of those priceless little moments in time that you can't plan it. You can't prepare for it.
Oh, yeah. The kids say the darndest things, man.
She definitely does.
That's awesome. Okay. So I found out what it was from.
Okay.
Excalibur.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
actually lifted from the movie Excalibur with Merlin and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I found that on Reddit.
Now, the jacket, the sword on the back.
Yeah.
Is that Excalibur or is that, like The Legend of Zelda?
I'm guessing that's Excalibur because I can't remember, like, The Legend of Zelda, the whole, it's dangerous to go along. Here, take this with you.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things you do is you get the sword there at the beginning of The Legend of Zelda. The sword that shows up in later games, that's not the same sword. So yeah, I'm guessing that has to be Excalibur. Looks a lot like Excalibur to me by the hilt and things like that.
The
whole cruciform hilt or whatnot. But yeah, that was one thing I didn't put together until this viewing because I remembered seeing the sword on the back of his vest the first time around.
Yeah.
But only this time around did I put it together. It was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You know, sword, Parzival, one of the knights of the round table, Excalibur, King Arthur. Again, spoiler alert, the curator of the holiday archive.
Journals.
I didn't realize instead of having like people go and do their own research and things like that, in the movie, they have the holiday archive. And the curator of the archive, I didn't realize, was Simon Pegg's voice until they gave it, until he gives it away there at the end of the movie.
Right.
This time, as I watched the movie, I can totally tell that, that's Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
You know, that's clearly Simon Pegg's voice. But the first time viewing, and that was one thing that I did love about how he got the extra life instead of playing the perfect game of Pac-Man. in the book.
Yeah.
I loved and how he got the extra life by the betting the curator and him flipping him the coin or whatever.
I mean, he almost didn't keep it. I thought she's going to pocket it in
this, oh, I know,
this
right?
version. And how do you think? I guess it's a better translated better to a movie to make the journals like this video computer generated archive instead of because and the book is just like his written.
It's what he calls his Grail diary in the book.
Yeah, he prints everything out and keeps records of everything.
Yeah, and it's all in like a spiral bound notebook and printed pages or whatnot. I do think that this one it translated better this way. This because. Now you're able to actually physically see it shot as a movie instead of, you know, somebody trying to read something from a diary or whatever, you know. I really liked the way that they did it. There's, you know, I would have liked this scene, like, them still have, like, their own personal little notebooks.
Right.
But, you know, the clues that he found in those places, you know, like the whole going backwards or whatever. Going really backwards, like Bill and Ted's. Speaking of which... possible new Bill and Ted's movie.
Right.
But yeah, going back to Ready Player One, cause I don't want to get too sidetracked, but man, like I'm sitting here and like, and it probably seems a lot of listeners that I like to go back and see movies over and over and over again, but that's part of what I like to do. I like the spectacle of actually going to the movie theater and seeing the movie. And if you haven't seen it yet and you're kind of debating on which version you should go see, whether you should go see 3D or 2D, I say go see the 3D.
3D was, and that's so good.
It is. It's a really well done 3D movie.
And it fits for this kind of movie because you're in
the Oasis
in the VR. For a lot of the movie. And this, the rendering and the way they did all these, some of the shots, like the first race, the first attempt to get the first key.
Yeah.
Every time it's hard to follow along. I mean, some people might even get
motion
sick from it because it's so good.
Oh yeah, it's so in your face. There's so much just things going around everywhere. But I was trying to think of all the, you know, and I didn't pick up the motorcycle being from Akira until, you know, they actually call it out or whatever. Yeah. I've seen Akira once, but that was once, and that was quite a while ago or whatever. But, dude, there was something else I was going to say that I noticed. Of course, you know, I pointed out to you the first time that we watched it, whenever he was standing there in the basement of H's, he had on, Han Solo's gun belt.
Yeah.
But he had a Thundercats belt buckle. Of course, there's, you know, the holy hand grenade. We all know that what that's from. And if you don't know what that's from, then God rest your soul because you're dead.
Well, he never has a gun in the holster, does he?
No, I don't think so because everything's all stored or whatever. Unless he might actually have one in there because that just might be part of the skin or whatever. But that was one thing I really enjoyed was how they log out, you know, and it's kind of like a weird thing with the hand gesture next to the head. But then whenever you start thinking about it, it's them taking off the visor. Off the
visor and they just kind of,
dissipate pixelate away. Yeah, that's a lot of really, really neat, interesting things that they did. And I wish I wouldn't have forgotten my blasted paper so that way I could have taken notes because I know that there's something else that I wanted to talk about and I cannot think of what it is.
What do you think about, we talked a little bit in the truck on the way home. What do you think about the portrayal of Artemis?
I thought they were pretty spot on with her character. And that was one thing that, like you said, we did talk about, but the, you know, they did kind of miss her character quite a bit. She
would never have.
Yeah.
She would never have said, you're definitely going to be the one that wins.
Yeah. They were all cutthroat. They were all still like.
That kind of bothered me a little bit about the movie is how, and the other guys were just kind of hanging along. And,
yeah. They were like his.
I mean, Shoto and,
Dato
got the key in The Shining. Hard. They're the one that found the key, I guess. But even then, that's not a... No, they didn't get the key. They found a key to a door? Because there's one part where they run up and says, we've got the key.
Yeah.
And go to this room.
Well, they got the key and they were going to room 237 or whatever. And that's where they stopped because, was it, I think H runs into
him? H remembers about seeing...
The painting. The picture.
Yeah.
And that's where they stopped and they hear the music from the ballroom and they go into the ballroom.
Yeah.
Because they were going to go back to 237.
Yeah.
Wrong
room to go into.
Obviously.
H learns that the
hard way. But I really thought they kind of missed on her character. They H, I thought was done great.
H was great.
And that was the one thing that I was really worried about because, you know, I'd gone to IMDb and it had a picture of H and, you know, that's one of the mysteries of the book is you always think that H is a dude, not just a dude, but you think that he's a white dude. And whatever it turns out in reality in the book, it's a she and she's not just a she, but she's a black female. So I did like that. They still kind of kept that mystery of that, you know, and just kind of made him, made her character like, I will say as neutral as what you could possibly get. Like it still looked like a man, but like as in like race neutrality and all like that, where it's like he looked more gray than anything else. So, I'm trying to think of the other characters because you don't really, you know, I wish they would have maybe possibly done a little bit more time with Daito and Shoto. Because, and that's the thing they get that artifact. God, I can't think right now. Anyways, they get that artifact at the, big PvP battle or whatever. And in the book, that was a string of quests. And granted, I understand why they did it like that because if they were to try to do the string of quests, they'd either A, have to do a montage or make the movie 6 hours long. But that was actually supposed to have been done between, Wade or Parzival and then Daito and Shoto. And he would kind of did that with them to try to like make amends because he was still kind of building a team, but they were still very singular. They weren't a clan. They weren't a group or anything like that. They were just kind of out for themselves, but he had tried to kind of, I won't say clan them up, but he had tried to build them up together to go against Sorrento and Aoi. Try to
watch each other's back.
Yeah, exactly. Because they had already, Aoi had already attacked his house and blown up his house in stacks, which actually happens in the movie as well. So yeah, it's just, you know, there were some things that they, obviously there were some things that they missed on that I wasn't crazy with, but there's still a lot of stuff.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. So what do you think about the direction they took her character and other characters as well?
With, Artemis?
With Artemis and Daito and Shoto and H. I thought they hit H pretty much head on.
H was really good. I think they did really good. I wish in the movie they've got, she's got this big warehouse shop where she works on things, which is cool.
Yeah.
That's where the Iron Giant comes in the movie, but, I wished, like I said, throughout the book, and this is me, if I got what I wanted, it would have been a lot of them hanging out, playing video games and arguing and just talking. Their friendship would have been shown like that. But then again, it would have to be a TV show or something like that for them to establish that. Artemis threw me off a little bit just because she, I liked the way they changed it and she still had a strong role and she was extremely decisive. Because one of the criticisms of the book I have is how Wade is the one, he's just great at everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I also love about the book, though, is that he had this elaborate plan about how he was going to get indentured into servitude for
Aoi
to try to figure out how to get rid of the bomb. Or not the bomb, to get rid of the orb that was the force field around the castle. So it gave her something where she was actually showing how good she was. And she actually played, if it hadn't been for her role and the strength that her character had, they wouldn't have succeeded.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the speech was a little weak.
Yeah.
That he gave.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly. It wasn't, you know, word for word of the one in the book. I do remember kind of like whenever the one in the book, obviously I think was better because I remember my first read through of the book getting kind of like, moved and kind of pumped up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, him sending the email. It was basically like a mass email that he sent throughout the entire Oasis or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the speech was a little bit weak, but that's still one of my favorite parts because that's one of her Twisted Sister. You know, you start hearing the rumble and then
all those people show up.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. I missed the spaceships. I would have loved to seen all the spaceships. I guess, you know, you can't have the Millennium Falcon in there.
Yeah. It doesn't get referenced. They do mention it. And there is the sound of a TIE fighter there at one part where they're going to the club where he meets her at. And there's a long line of, you know, vehicles waiting to get into the club.
Yeah.
They didn't do the thing to where it was like, they didn't really talk about the different zones. I can kind of understand that, but like, I still would have liked to have had a little bit more clarity on the world as well, because, you know, like the different zones where, you know, some planets will be like PvP, mm-hmm. where PvP is okay, and then other planets, it's not okay. You can't do PvP. Right. I would have liked a little bit of that, just to kind of give a little bit of a backstory, because some people might go into that, and it's not like it's a big deal, because even if somebody does go in there and think like, oh, well, the entire Oasis is nothing but a free-for-all zone. But no, it's only like certain areas where the Oasis was a free-for-all zone. But yeah, I mean, like I said, man, it's one of those movies that I really couldn't be more happier than the way that it, the way it turned out.
Right.
I absolutely loved it. Like I said earlier, I'm ready to go back again, and I will go back and see it again. I'm not really sure how it's doing in the box office.
It cost $175 million to make. I looked it up earlier, and it's only made. Let me look real quick.
All right. Yeah, you know, we've gone twice now. We went on the Friday, and I think it opened up actually a few days early. I want to say it opened up on like a Thursday, like what some movies do, either Thursday or Wednesday. And so I'm not sure what it did opening weekend. But you know, when we went on that Friday of opening weekend, we kind of had an early showing. It was 5:40, but our theater was not full.
No, no.
And we went to an early showing today that started at 11 this morning, and it was still you know, I won't say the theater was empty, but it was.
It's not even close. There was lots of space.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even, not even, you couldn't even say it's a quarter fill.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. But it wasn't like it was dead in there either, but it wasn't.
That's true. It's early.
Yeah. In the day. It's early in the day. And that's, you know, I love going and seeing movies. So whenever I go see movies, I usually won't go at the peak hour. I usually try to go early in the morning or late in the evening. Like I used to go on Sundays at 10 o'clock at night. Because I could go at 10 o'clock at night, and I couldn't tell you how many movies I saw that was my own personal viewing, because I was the only person in the movie theater.
That's pretty awesome.
Dude, that's wonderful.
As of right now, like I said, it's a pretty high budget, $175 million.
Yeah.
It's almost to $400 million.
Oh, wow. So they've already made their investment back on it. But, you know, honestly, whenever you think about $175 million to make the movie, with on how much CGI is in that movie, that's really not a bad cost on it, to tell you the truth. Or at least it doesn't seem like it to me.
It's a ton of CGI.
It's a ton of CGI. That's a lot of rendering. That's, you know, it's almost the movie itself is almost video game.
It's probably the best.
And that's one thing I want to look up also. And I should have probably done that before we started recording here. And it's like, I wonder if they will actually do a video game for the movie or That'd even cool. book.
Yeah.
Sony, need to get on top of that.
Let's put that out for your get an PSVR. Oasis.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Please.
So awesome.
Can we just get an Oasis? That would be so amazing.
Yeah, that's in the works, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, and you know,
I guess James Halliday's making it right now.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one thing that's one thing I did notice is that they had his birth date in the movie as whatever. I can't remember what month, but I do remember the year. Is 1975. And by the book, if you do the math, I want to say, because they give out his age he was in the year that he dies. Mm-hmm. And if you do the math, and I want to say in the book, he was like born in 71.
I think he was born in 71 in the book too. On his eyes, the quarters are 1972.
Oh, really? Okay.
Or the quarter that he flips to him, I think.
Yeah. I didn't even notice that. That's a good pickup, man. Yeah. Right. See, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah. But yeah, I love how that he gets the extra life. Love that part. That like, it's so clever. Cause I was just like, and as soon as, you know, the first time we saw the movie, as soon as he flips him the coin, I knew exactly what it was. And I think I elbowed you. I was like, yeah, or you elbowed me, one of the two. Yeah. But yeah.
One more derail.
Okay. One more derail.
Talking about the budget. Did you see the news about the Amazon, Lord of the Rings series, the budget? They're scheduled to spend $1 billion.
Holy guacamole, Batman.
And the production of everything. And all the details haven't come out, what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's $1 billion budget.
Jeez.
I think the article I saw that referenced this said that the Peter Jackson movies, all three of them, the first ones, cost less than $300 million.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
So what the heck they're doing with $1 billion? It's going to be...
That's
something else.
I mean, the owner of Amazon, it's not like it's going to hurt him any. That dude's got money out the wazoo. To me,
it seems like a passion project.
It does. It really, really does. I mean, I'm excited to see it, but I don't know what you could spend $1 billion on.
Well, I think it's like not for just like one season. It's going to be like for
multiple seasons.
Multiple seasons, at least five, I think. It's going to be cool.
And is it going to be actually centered around the Lord of the Rings series, or the book series, or do you think it's going to be centered around like just Middle Earth itself?
Some of the stuff I saw, and like I said, this is really early, and it's probably really based on rumor and speculation.
Yeah,
but I think part of the deal was it's going to be using storylines from the actual books.
Okay.
Because there's so much there that
could
fit.
Well, there's so much there that could fit, and there's so much that they just kind of like threw in there also. Because I read The Hobbit before The Hobbit came out, just because I wanted, like, I love the Lord of the Rings series so much, and I'd never read the Lord of the Rings books. Still haven't read the Lord of the Rings books. I love that series so much, that series of movies so much, that whenever the Hobbit came out, I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to read The Hobbit before The Hobbit comes out. And there was so much that they added, like Radagast. Radagast's only even like mentioned in the book. Yeah. And then you actually see the character and you see all this stuff that happens with Radagast. And I was like, that's not even in the book.
Well, you got two good options if you ever decide to use Audible to do get the audiobooks for Lord of the Rings. It's really long.
Yeah.
There's a really good
I don't remember. Hobbit was forever.
That's not near as long as what the just each volume would be.
They're
really big, fat books.
Yeah.
There's really good Audible books that I actually had the CDs for years ago.
Oh, okay.
Or you can go the route of there's a really good, and might be have done by the BBC, there's an audio play
of the books. Cool.
Where they follow really closely to the storyline, more so than the movie would have done, to where they have voice actors doing the different roles.
Okay.
So it's really cool. So it's another option.
And speaking of audiobooks, go to audible.com/nerdylegion.
Yeah.
Get you a subscription. Hey, you can either go audible.com/nerdylegion or go to the website, nerdylegion.com, click the banner, go in, sign up for your 2 weeks free, get your free book. If you don't like it, you don't have to keep it, but you still get to keep the book. That's what's amazing about Audible. But I can guarantee you're going to like it because they got tons and tons and tons and tons of books all for your glory little ear holes. Mike says the Lord of the Rings, the BBC production, you said?
I think it's a BBC
production. Like a play production?
Yeah.
If it's not, there's also another one that I really enjoy that is I'll go with the play also that they did, and it's The Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, really?
By Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde is, I love his stuff. Dude's hilarious. I'm pretty sure he's dead now.
But he's way dead.
Yeah, I thought so. I don't know where he, I've read some of his stuff. I don't know what year he's from, but I really enjoyed it. The Importance of Being Earnest is a great book, and it's a play that they actually recorded and put up there, and stars James Marsters, who is also does the narration of the Dresden Files. So.
Oh, cool.
But I think that's going to do it for this
Wrap
week.
It up.
Yeah. So, anyways, go to 2BT. That's the number 2BTshow@gmail.com. Send us an email. If you hate me, if you hate Michael, if you hate Stormtrooper Steve, I looked over at Steve Sharon and saw the Stormtrooper helmet.
He's been very quiet. Yeah.
Go to Twitter. That's the number 2BT show.
Right.
And that's at the number 2BT show. With that being said, I'm David.
I'm Michael.
That's 2BT signing out.
Adios.
Fuego con Dios.
Good Lord. What? What made me this way?
It is hot. It is hot.
So hot.
Kind of like me. It is hot.
Yeah, I like fish sticks. I like putting fish sticks in my mouth.
What?
Fish sticks.
Good God. Oh.
Something went wrong somewhere or something went right somewhere.
Right.
There's a naked chicken there.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love her. But I had to kill her. I used to love her. Oh, yeah, but I had to kill her.
Hey, I mean, I love you in all sense of the word, all of y'all. But that's, man, whatever.
I'm the jerk that wrote a million word prequel to the real story.
All right. Oh, God. Dude, I like. Ha ha ha! I don't read too well.
I don't know my words.
I just like looking at the funny ones.
Do you know your words? I don't know mine. You
get that right. Whole alphabet thing confuses right. me. Oh,
just do like I do. Give up. Just give up on everything. I don't care. The environment's dying. I don't care. Just give up.
Oh, my.
I don't know if this is fun for anybody listening, but it's not. Oh, my God.
Gotta play to win,
man. I wanna make love to you, woman. I wanna lay you down by the fire. Caress your womanly body. Make your bone and perspire.
Yeah, water rum.
I can either A, clinch it, and hope that my body just reabsorbs it. Maybe it'll turn into a burp.
Burp, burp, burp. Are you ready for your vasectomy?
Mike, edit this out.
Yeah. I want to be captain of the committee that makes sure you guys don't F this up.
I swear to God, dude, it came out with a vengeance, too. I don't know. Oh, my God. I don't know if like the...
Yeah, it's glorious. Yeah. Santa Claus is real. Oh, well, look, he's not that bad of a dude.
Straight to the fart noises. There's only one day.
He's a little guy, red hair, that he likes to sing and play his lute.
I don't know, maybe it's my upbringing or something.
I don't know, like, it's just fun. I'm Texan. Be like, oh, well, you know, my feats are better than your feats.
Man. You're an old man and pretty much done.
There you go. Dude.
Everything's better with reverb.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Giant lump of wet dough. Okay.
Where are you from? When I was like, Texas.
Oh, whoa. Now, how dare you say that to little Timothy?
Yeah.
This, by the way, spoilers.
Hey.
I guess it's the Texas thing.
I love my family.
Excellent.
Oh, you want to be a tough guy? I'll be a show what tough is. And
Go home.
Dude, you mind if I sit over here? And he's like, dude, knock yourself out, man. Oh, it must be a Texas thing. Don't do that, by the way.
I'm having a brain freeze. Oh, no. And I'm like,
Ujaba, the heebie-jeebies. Face down in a gut. I don't want to admit defeat, though.
Boy, this is not good.
Like, dude, I love it. I love it all.
Whoa, dude. Oh, my God.
Star Wars guys are crazy.
My butt has a cannon.
If you're going to go out, that's the way to do it.
I dig it. It belongs in a museum. Oh, dude, hurry up and get here. Yeah.
Man in black fled across the desert, and the gunslinger followed.
The Last Jedi. Run DMC.
Han, Luke, Leia.
R2 and 3PO.
Rey, Finn.
Yoda. Kenobi.
Poe.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Chewbacca has to die.
The Palpatine. Betray you.
Chewbacca. You know R.A. Salvatore.
This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. This is a good guy. This is a bad guy. Go.
Dang it. Yeah. But, yeah, like, crap, I'm just, like, stuttering and rambling there. Beans, a wonderful fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel, so eat beans with every meal. I have a belief that if the more you fart, the longer you'll live.
No! You don't stop playing because you get old.
Yeah.
You get old because you stop playing.
That wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Boom.
Nerdy Legion.
NerdyLegion.com.